This is a briefing by the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. Obviously, we have just a very small group of our group of 50 that we represent as the ACPE. We were founded in 1999. In 1999, we gave a prophecy concerning something coming that was going to be very, very terrible. And it was at that time we were looking at a Y2K in year 2000, but the Lord said that what was coming after was going to be much, much worse. And so we have coming together collectively. I've been speaking to the prophets, and I've sent out this word that I received just this past Friday as I was on a plane to Canada, Calgary, actually, in Canada. And I'm going to just read it. And I want to say before I do something that we will unpack. I have been listening to many, many prophetic words on social media. I have been trying to, about the U.S. and other nations, I've been trying to digest them. We have been trying to digest them. Some of them are serious to the point of the dissolution of the United States, all kinds of things happening. And so this is a word that maybe will be something that could cause a dissolution of the U.S. And before I read it, I do want to say prayer changes things. Okay? And you will see that in the prophetic word. We have analyzed this. We've talked about it. We'll have some of our leaders do that. I will bring on Bishop Bill Hammond right after I speak, who we call the father of the modern day prophetic movement. I will go right to Sharon Stone. Black, who started the European Prophetic Council. So we have some senior leaders. We have some that have just come up. We have James Gall and others that have been with us since the beginning. Okay? Word of the Lord for the nations. Do not think that the people who are protesting and calling for a Palestinian state are just protesting on behalf of Palestine. Whether they understand or not, there is an insurrection forming. It is like unto the communist takeover in Russia for the downfall of the Tsars. Only this time, they are aiming for the nations of Canada, the U.S., and the nations of the world. Among the other nations, Europe is especially a target. This is a planned takeover, not only ideologically, but nationally. It has infiltrated militaries and is gaining strength. At the moment, they are quietly planning. There are proxies on the streets in protest. This is not only about bringing the Palestinian state to the Middle East, but an Islamic state to North America and other nations. They are subversive and even using misguided students, but the movement is on a much bigger and more pervasive scale. This Palestinian Islamic state is also part of a larger alliance of Iran as the head with a caliphate of Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Hezbollah will be part of this axis of evil, and eventually Afghanistan, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, and other Middle Eastern nations will not be able to remain neutral because you will one day be in the crosshairs of this caliphate or Middle Eastern takeover, and your independence will be threatened. Africa, choose the right side. Do not fight against Israel in the battle. Russia is watching like a devourer to swoop down on Europe through Ukraine. China is being restrained through prayer against gobbling up Taiwan, Korea, and Asia. Even if these alliances work as an excess of evil, Islam will eventually break these alliances to take over. The insurrectionists are set in Paris, London, and other European cities, as well as in Australia and Latin America. However, the hand of God is waiting to cover those nations who are on their face in repentance and holiness. Judgment has begun at the house of God and will increase. There may be, appear to be a severity in the cleansing of the church. There will be no wiggle room for those who think that no one sees. The judgment, this judgment is to clean the house of God in order to give the church the authority in prayer to stop what is coming. For the covers are coming off hidden sin. Those in the prayer movement are going first because some of them stood in my face, says the Lord, and brought uncleanness and mixture before the throne. This will not be tolerated. It is time to confess before you're exposed and cry out to me to help as you navigate through the consequences. For those who truly love me more than hiding your sin, I will help you. Even though it will be difficult, you can choose to go the hard way or the way of holiness and repentance. For I am jealous for my revival and the raising up of reformers for your nations. The hearts of many of those who are in this new move of God must not be crushed and darkened by the sin of the church. I am the refiner's fire, says the Lord. I am holiness personified. Cry out to be holy and wash clean. Holiness belongs to me, says the Lord. I will not tolerate mixture, even though it seems like I haven't seen the sin of some in the church. I know all things, and I'm going to reveal a side of me that many have not seen in their lifetime. If the church repents, I will relent. I will protect your nations. If the church repents, I will deal with the coming world consequences and give wisdom to the leaders of your nations. For foolish governance is a consequence of sin. If the people elect those who snub their noses at biblical principles, their leaders will be like blind people and cause grave mistakes to be made. Turn to me, church, says the Lord. For I desire mercy and not judgment. Turn to me with fasting and prayer and turn from your wicked ways. I am waiting, says the Lord, to hear your cries and heal your land. A very sobering word. We're just going to bring on Bishop Bill Hammond of Christian International, who's written many, many books on the prophetic and really has led the way in this regard. Bishop?
Yes, thank you, Cindy. I encourage everyone to hear this as a word of the Lord, not Cindy's opinions or our opinions. Even though we started this roundtable of prophets called ACPE back in 99, and that was to give when there's going to be a word given nationally, it should be proved and witnessed to. And we all witness to this word, and we're sending out internationally, wherever it goes, it'll go around the world. But this is these thoughts are written out by us, but they originated in the heart and mind of God. And this is a thus saith the Lord. So as you read that, read it as though God's talking to you, the Holy Spirit's revealing things to you, and receive it and then take the action that the Holy Spirit prompts you and your heart motivates you to take, because this is serious. This is serious. And I'm concerned about my children, grandchildren, my 25 great-grandchildren. I'm 90 years old in July, and I'll be taking off in 5 or 10 years. But hey, we need to get in there and intercede and pray and battle and war and prepare the way and make ready a people for the coming of the Lord and do what's necessary and teach them to know how to preserve during these challenging times. In 1996 and 2001, God told me to go to these nations and do warfare to stop Satan's plan to stop World War III. We did, and we stopped it. But I had not had any motivation to try to stop this one. Unless others get it, you know, it looks like we can lessen it and we can adjust it some, but it's coming and we need to prepare the people and be ready ourselves. So thank you, Cindy, for obeying God. It's a Jeremiah word. If you don't believe God speaks like this, read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, read Ezekiel, especially Jeremiah. All of his prophecies, which Israel was a tipping point. And if he didn't do something quick, people didn't respond, they were going to go into judgment. And they didn't respond, and the Babylonians came in, wiped them out. So let's respond, let's act upon God's word, and we're going to see a major shift, and it's God will move with intercessory prayer and with faith. God bless you, and we're all going to work together to see God's glory fill the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Thank you, Bishop. He's going to have to drop off, but we so appreciate you joining us. Again, the Lord said, pray and repent. We don't know. You know, I last night I awakened in the middle of the night and the Lord was saying, sound the alarm, even for attacks against the U.S. And so we've got to pray. We've got to be sober. We've got to be somber, not afraid, but we have got to be clean and holy. Let's bring on Sharon Stone, and she's coming to us from Windsor, England.
Thank you, Cindy. This is a sobering, grievous word, and thank you, Bishop Hammond. I awoke this morning, and the Lord said that this is a shot that's going to be heard around the world. And what that meant was it's a defining moment, and I believe Bishop already said it's kind of a tipping point word. But I realized when I first heard this word earlier in the week, Cindy, I was desensitized. And it's because, you know, we've heard so much of the Quran saying, kill the infidels, you know, because of the great Islam immigration in different nations, and even because of our distance and our recovery from 9/11. But I believe the Lord said this, the enemy and the Islamic agenda is to desensitize for the destabilization of nations, and that we were to pray instead that it would bring the fear of the Lord. But the Lord did speak to me in January and said, there is no nuclear war in 2024. He didn't say there would never be one, but not in 2024. But he began to speak about the governments and the earth. And he said, they're going to be a great momentum in militarizing the different nations because of fear. And because of fear, they're going to be positioning in a defensive mode rather than an offensive mode. And the Lord said there'll even be the discussions of how to build domes like Israel over different countries. And the Lord says there's going to be nations going into great debt, so it makes it harder for them to support other nations to bring them victory during this time. And the Lord spoke to me during the Summer Olympics in France that that is going to be a target for Islam to be seen. And that's part of the shot. And we know that we have to come against that in prayer so that it doesn't happen. But the Lord says, do not neglect the fact that there is an Islamic agenda against the United States of America. And I just want to finish here, Cindy. The Lord says there is a great cleansing in the church. Signs of revival are cleansing. There's an exposure in church movement leaders that has only just begun. But the Lord says, remember, holiness and repentance is a sign of revival.
Yes, thank you so much. Let's go up. I think she might have to leave us. Patricia Bousma, she's coming to us from Kansas City. She was one of the leaders in Canada for the prophetic movement, and now she has moved to Kansas City. They have their own ministry, not the International House of Prayer, but she's very involved actually in bringing healing there. So, Patricia, what do you feel about this word?
Cindy, thank you so much for this warning word to pray into. It's something that I remember, it was actually Paul Kane 25 years ago mentioned something about that. The Muslim religion becoming so dominant in later years. And I was so surprised by that, didn't see that. But as a Canadian who lived in the suburb of Toronto, Mississauga, I started to see very much the immigration that changed much in Canada. And now I'm in the U.S. And I mentioned to Cindy, just even as immigrating to the U.S., it's just taken so long to come in under a religious worker's visa. We've been put back in the queue, and a friend of mine from Egypt got his green card in less than a year. And I thought, there's something off here. Anyways, but I believe that what we're hearing right now is a now word, an urgent word as to the agenda that has swept nations like Lebanon and other nations that have changed from, like, as Beirut was the Pearl or the Paris of the Middle East, which is no more. And it's something that we cannot just bury our heads and say, well, it's just a few radicals on a university campus. No, it is coming to a city near you. And I do believe that prayer can change the trajectory. And a lot of prayer, I also believe, for the next generation, for us to educate our children and even, you know, the little kids as to why this is not okay and why also stand with Israel. This is a big one, is the cost of standing for Israel. Let the Bonhoeffers arise, let the Corrie ten Booms arise, because it's like 1933 right now. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you. Yes, the anti-Jewish sentiment is unbelievable. We just can hardly believe that it's happened, but it's hatching. It's always been there. It's just hatching now. And the gang violence in the U.S. and sure, and across, there's many things that have happened in Europe, Australia, many other nations, you know, that we could talk about. I want to say this up front. Not every Muslim is radicalized and wants to take over the nations, okay? The ideology in the Quran is very strong, though, as far as a mandate, but there is something called demographic jihad, meaning if you have six children and other people have two, or as we say, 1.5 or even one, eventually the nations will change just by population. And so we are not against anyone. We don't want any violence against any Muslim. We are against violence, but we do need to pray. Okay, let's go on further. I'm just following across. Shara Vitolkas, you had a dream. Can you tell us your dream? She is up in Redding, California.
Yes, in October, right before Israel is bombed, one night I had a sequence of dreams where every time I fell asleep, I'd go back into it. Only other time that happened was when I dreamed of the insurrection and Trump losing. And it was quite a fearful dream. Thank you, Mama Cindy, for sounding the trumpet. In the dream, it was a little bit in the future. It wasn't now. It was right after the elections and Ukraine and Russia had stalemated. Iran had really been attacking Israel and China was prowling for the right time when we were distracted to attack. And in that dream, there was an attack on U.S. soil. And I did what I knew to do. I ran to my home church. I ran to Bethel. And it was almost like a scene out of the persecuted church of my days as a missionary, where we weren't even gathering in a building. We were like under a tree and the church was asleep. And I just started like praying in the dream and rending my heart and not my garment and crying out for mercy. And as the saints woke up, because there was attack in America, as they woke up and prayed in unity and humility, there was like a Judges 4 and 5 scene where creation was warring with the saints. And so I believe this is an invitation for purity. I believe that as we gather as prophetic people to repent, to pray, that the Lord will hear from heaven as we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. He will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land.
Amen. Of course, we're not saying that Bethel's asleep either. Somehow.
No, it was the global church. It was right. I ran to my local church and because I love my church. It was just the church at large was asleep and we weren't even gathering in buildings. So no, it was not. It was not a rebuke.
Yeah, this is something that happened further down the line when the church was under severe persecution.
And it was after the next elections.
Yeah. If we look at the history of civilizations, we have to understand that Tunisia was once Carthage, and now it's completely taken over by other ideologies. Other nations in the Middle East were once 90% Christian. So, you know, we have to say, okay, maybe this won't happen in my lifetime. I'm 72. But we have to think of our children. We have to think of our grandchildren. We have to think of the children of the nations. We cannot be like Hezekiah and say, well, just give me 15 more years. We cannot do that. We have to be on the alert. Jennifer LeClaire, will you join us with your words? Jennifer LeClaire has a house of prayer in Orlando, Florida, and she's written many, many books. She was editor of Charisma Magazine. And will you join us, please, with your voice?
Yes, thank you, Cindy. This really is the word of the Lord. This is not an opinion. This is not a projection. This is the word of the Lord. And holiness personified, that just shakes me up. But I want to point out something. You know, I'm a prayer movement leader. We have prayer hubs in 100 nations. The Lord said he's starting with the prayer movement, and we know that he already has. But the prophetic movement, the worship movement, the body of Christ is being called, given an opportunity. This is the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is giving us an opportunity to come to him in sackcloth and ashes, to come to him with a sincere heart, to cleanse us of unrighteousness. And we all need to search our hearts. Every person, if you're a soccer mom, a businessman, we're not just talking about church. We all need to come into this word. There is hope. You know, before every great awakening, there was judgment. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be judgment. I'm saying God is saying you will see judgment if you do not repent. We don't want that. We want to receive the grace and mercy of the Lord. This is a hopeful word. We've been praying for revival, praying for awakening. And I believe this is part of the Lord's response. He's saying, in essence, I am jealous for revival. Those were his words. I am jealous for revival, and I want to bring. So just take this, apply it to your life, share this word. I believe we can turn this around, and we can see that great awakening that God wants to bring. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And we've got to do this on massive scales across the world. Patricia, I didn't say, I know you're mobilizing prayer for Israel. Just say briefly what you're doing with that.
Yeah, well, we lead a 24-hour house of prayer for Israel called the Israel Virtual House of Prayer with 28 nations involved. I'm also leading daily Zoom prayer at 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern, with different guests like Rick Ridings, different people from Israel come on, share what's happening with the war. So if you want to join just for that, just go on to jhisrael.com and you press pray and you'll get some information. But thank you, Cindy, for that. I think prayer is crucial. The Isaiah 62, the army is arising in this day.
Yeah. It's very, very important. And James Gall, you were one of our founders of the ACPE in 1999. And you can remember when God gave us a warning on what would be 9/11 and what happened.
Yes. And when we were going over this word together, it was the same kind of response, which was the fear of the Lord, the jealousy of God, and then the response from you and me in particular, which was travail. In other words, a kind of prayer that is deep prayer, coming from the heart. Oh, Lord, may this not be. And what the Lord, it seems, was showing to us that, one, this is his warning. It's also an invitation. It's an invitation into intercession, to stand in the gap to see if this can be lessened. Mm-hmm. It is our understanding that this will not be completely cut off, but it can be lessened. Now, my understanding, the way this seems to me, that it's like in the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 7, oh, by the way, I've got roofers on my house, so you might hear some hammering, and so I'm just going to take that and... You can't hear it? Okay, good. But I just take it that we're going to be covered in the midst of times of difficulty, okay? So, but in Amos chapter 7, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of judgments, there is a vision that Amos is given, and it is about a plumb line being dropped. I believe that's where we are. I believe that a plumb line is coming down, in like in Amos 7, and behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not pass by them anymore. And he goes on, and I believe the Lord is doing this to help us correct if we are perpendicular with character or not. And he's wanting us to align with integrity. He's wanting us to align with the proper foundation, whether it's the prayer movement, the prophetic movement, whether it's the local church, apostolic movements, let alone governments in entire nations. Mm-hmm. And then I and many others have been saying that in the Middle East, that we are in a Psalm 83, there's a conspiracy in the nations to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that she be remembered no more. Mm-hmm. But we believe that prayer changes things.
Mm-hmm.
I, with Cindy, and with this company of people, and there's a whole lot more, and it includes you. Prayer changes things, and we have an opportunity to approach the throne of Almighty God, and your prayers might be the ones that could help tip the scale towards righteousness and mercy in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and so I just assume that all of you know James Gall. Oh. How many books have you written now, James?
Maybe 50.
A lot. A lot. So he is one of our elders. We say our elders. And there's many more that are not on this call, but that have received this word.
Yes.
And we will be issuing it after this program that we're doing right now. I just wanted to model something, guys. Mm-hmm. Listen, God isn't willing that any should perish. That's we right. grieve over the innocent in Gaza. Mm-hmm. Last night I couldn't sleep thinking about this myself either, okay? War is terrible. I mean, if we had social media in World War One or World War Two, we would have been aghast what happened in villages. We're just watching this live, but it's horrible. It's horrible. We are not for the loss of any innocent life. We pray for the believers in Gaza, in Lebanon, all these nations. You know, we love them. And I feel that what's going to happen, there'll be different parts of the world that will be touched more. There's some that are further down the line. There's some that might come to civil wars and battles. It is possible that what we call sheep and goat areas, nations, states, even parts of nations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be anarchy. I see in the U.S. pockets of anarchy breaking out all over the place. Mm-hmm. But we don't want them to be concerted. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to work with the outside and the inside, which certainly is here. Listen, you have to be a prophet to see this, okay? You do not have to be a prophet to see this. And so, you know, it's something very concerning, but it's a call to prayer. This is a call to prayer.
That's right.
And so, okay, we'll move across. I'm just watching my screen. John Hamill. John Hamill is also an author. He is located in the Washington, D.C. area. From his penthouse and Jolene, his wife, they can see the White House, you know, all these different parts. They live right near the Pentagon, and they intercede. And he is also an author, has written a number of books, and is a literally a watchman on the wall, done a lot in Israel. Go ahead and share, John Hamill.
Thank you, Cindy. You know, we've known each other. You've been a mentor to me for 30 years now. And I've seen maybe one other time where you have been this stirred in the depths of your being with the weight of a word. And just that fact, as you are a prophet to the nations, I take this so seriously, but it has hit the depths of my being. And you can't help but weep at what is potentially at hand. So a year ago, Jolene and I were leading a journey through Israel called the Spirit of Elijah Tour, and we finished up at Yad Vashem, which is the Jewish Holocaust Memorial. And we walked through the exhibits. We saw trains, and I thought of my own glory train journey back in 2016, and the word that the Lord gave that there are two trains in the earth. One is the glory train leading to redemption, but there is another train that is beginning to move of dictatorship, of dictatorial governance, tied to idolatry, tied to Islam, we saw very strongly. And a dear friend, a Jewish man, was accompanying me, and he was weeping this whole time because he had found more people that had perished in the Holocaust. And we knew that there was potentially another Holocaust at hand. He actually is a trumpeter, and he blew the shofar and sounded the alarm and then handed the shofar to us. And immediately the word of the Lord came about Iran, the nation of Iran, and how Iran saw Israel was at its most weakest point because of all the division internally, and that they were poised to strike. We sounded the alarm on that. We sounded the alarm on the nuclear capacities of Iran, which have not been abated. They're growing. We sounded the alarm about the proxies, and we sounded the alarm about war. On 7/22, we had a gathering in Jerusalem specifically to blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. And we felt back then, the Holy Spirit said that as Israel is divided and the nations see Israel in her weakness, so the United States is divided and the nations see the United States in a place of weakness, maybe more than in decades, where they are poised to strike. So I'm adding, with all sobriety, looking literally right now across at the White House and the Pentagon. We live right across the street from the Pentagon. We need the mercy of God. We need his mercy. However, the hand of God is waiting to cover the nations who are on their face in repentance and holiness. This isn't just some vague concept. This isn't a practice run. We're in this moment right now. And Cindy, we look forward to your leadership, leading the prophets, leading the prayer movement, to see this manifestation of a corporate people in repentance on their face before God to secure the turnaround that he wants to bring.
Thank you, John. Yes, and we appreciate your intercession that you do there and being a watchman on the wall. And we know many, many prayer meetings you've had, many times you've gone out to pray. We also have the Reformation Prayer Network, which is a 50-state prayer network. If you want to get on and get our Shields Up alerts, you know, you can go on generals.org and do that. You know, I gave a word in Israel, I don't know if it's 10, 12 days, and I gave this on CBN Middle Eastern News, call 911. That the terrorists were in Israel already. But after they came, there would be a great revival in Israel. Heidi Baker also got that word, call 911. John Hamill had a word, call 911. God is warning. He is warning. But why is he warning? If he wanted to just do it, he would just do it. You know, he's warning us to pray. And let's go on, and we're going to proceed. Eleanor Roll, Eleanor and Robert, they are in Alaska, and they are way up there in the north holding the fort. There is a whole group in Alaska, the War Council. They meet with Mary Glazier and others, and they intercede to protect that northern gate. And so let's hear from you, Eleanor.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Cindy, for allowing us to be on here today. And yes, we realize that we are very strategically and geographically placed here in the northern border of Alaska between Canada and Alaska, and also with Russia in Alaska. And so, yes, the War Council is members of about 12 now, who are seasoned warriors, really seeking the Lord, not only for the word of the Lord prophetically, but even praying strategic warfare prayers around the borders of Alaska and also the nation and nations of the earth. And so I really appreciate this, the word of the Lord that you are sending out, Cindy, that we are in full agreement with, that I believe will raise the bar in the prophetic, in the prayer movement, and really in the body of Christ, which we all know that we really sincerely need. I'll just take one brief section of the word that I sent to you in ACPE of 2023, which goes right along with what you're sharing. The church and the nation is coming into a dying of what was, into the reality of what is and is to come. The nation and the church is being born again into a bold, holy kingdom and governing body of Christ. In 2019 and 20, I also sent the word to ACPE that many of us saw together as well, that we saw Russia, China, and Iran aligning itself against Israel and the United States. And I see that not only are they in alignment, but other GOAT countries and states will also align themselves with them in hopes to take Israel and the United States down. But what I also wrote down and saw was they will not succeed yet, and hopes to throw us into a premature World War III. And I believe, and we all agree, that coming into a time of deep repentance, which we just did this past weekend at Kingdom Alliance Network and our services there, we started with repentance. You know, and the entire congregation just fell on their faces. And so we just started with a real deep repentance for anti-Semitism, our pride, you know, our religious ways, and any areas where there is a blockage between us and the heart of the Father. And so it just was so deep. And so really what I'm seeing now too is we know that there is a new glory move, that the Lord is on that glory train that he started. And this will be marked and sustained by the reverential fear of the Lord, by his spirit of wisdom and understanding. And there is also a requirement that the ecclesia walks in fear of the Lord and discerning of spirits, discerning the times we are in, to know where we need to be at a specific time and place. And so I won't go on with anything more, except for we are on the wall here in the northern border. Prayer movements are being birthed up here. In fact, a new 24/7 prayer movement on Zulu time has been birthed up here, and many prayer groups have aligned themselves with Kingdom Alliance, as we are, of course, aligned with Generals International. So thank you so much for this time and opportunity for me to share, Cindy.
Thank you. De Havilland, I know you've been able to jump on just a little bit, not on the whole thing, but you had a dream that was very compelling about women. We know we're on a march to October 12th, the Day of Atonement, in Washington, D.C., where we're calling people from all over the world to come together to pray. Lou Engle, Jenny Donnelly, yourself, and others. Will you share your dream with us?
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, I so appreciate you, Mama Cindy. I believe this is truly the word of the Lord. One of the things the Lord had me study was Hitler. And we know in history, Hitler removed the book of Esther and Exodus out of the Bible so that, you know, the Germans and the Jewish people would not be able to read that. And so I began to read that. And here's what we're calling for: 1 million Esthers to arise for this time. In the dream I had in 2016, we were in Washington, D.C. There were thousands and thousands of women. And I heard it's time for the women to arise. It was Lou Engle in the dream. In the dream, we go down on an elevator. We walk into this room, and it's all these women wrapped in Islamic garbs, wrapped in burqas. I knew these women were from Iran, and they were waiting for the women in the Western church to rise up. Years go by. I don't understand the dream, but here's what I believe. This gathering in October 12th is the pushback. This is our window to repent as the women in the West. And I believe we can hold back this, whatever's going on with Iran. I believe as the women in the West arise, that God is going to give us an Esther 4:14 moment. And so, I went into a coffee shop in Fort Worth, Texas recently. There was a young woman sitting at her computer, and on her computer, she had a sticker that said Free Palestine. And the Lord, this is why I had you study Hitler, because the youth of America is at our college campuses. We've got to see revival in our college campuses. And we must see our leaders repent of tolerating Jezebel, because the cleansing of the leadership is going to open the doors to the youth of America being saved once again. And so I just believe that October 12th, if you're a mother watching this, You have a responsibility to respond right now for such a time as this, because we could really see something shift over these next 8 months leading up to October 12th and see the spirit of anti-Semitism torn down and God bring revival to America and the nations.
I agree. And De Havilland and her husband Will have 818, the sign movement. They have done major prayer, a major reconciliation movement. They're now pastoring Mercy Culture. Is it called East in Fort Worth, Texas?
Yes, Mercy Culture East in Fort Worth, Texas. And we have a mosque. We have the Islamic mosque right down the street from these ideologies. Are sweeping through the urban community. They're sweeping through the communities where many are being swept into these four false ideologies. But it is the praying church, I believe, that's going to break the backs of Islam and see a move of God come. But we cannot ignore what is happening with the Jewish people. I'll say this, Mama Cindy, if there was an announcement made during Black History Month, all African Americans need to stay home, we would see our nation in an uproar. There's no reason why Jewish people should have to stay home on Passover. And why there is not a moral outcry over this, to me, that's the greater sin. And mm-hmm. So we're calling for people to begin to cry out for Israel from the mall to the wall. We have this God, and we need to see it now, because I fear that we're repeating history if something doesn't shift. So thank you for your leadership in this hour.
And what I love about this movement, it's red, yellow, brown, black, and white. I mean, this is across the board, calling together leaders. You know, it's some of the past movements were just kind of a one ethnicity, but this is the church standing up with one voice. The attack on Iran actually happened on a day that we had prayer in 50 states on 4/13. And we were praying at the Sacramento State Capitol on that day, praying against gender transitioning and mutilation of children. And so Lou and Jenny Donaldson, De Havilland, Laura Allred, just many, many women are coming together, standing, and like our theme for the Deborah's United, not on my watch. It's personal this time. You know, it's personal. And it is personal. Esther 4:13, and Mordecai has said, it told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the Jews. This was actually on the day that Israel was attacked. So do not think, I want to say this, this word is so sober. Do not think that you will escape if you are not willing to pray. Do not think, or your children, or your grandchildren, or your nieces, or nephews, or the children of your church. Do not think one day will be payday if we don't pray. Julie Zylstra lives in Seattle, Washington area. They own some property in the very north of the United States. And she has a lot of dreams, a lot of vision. She's very accurate. So just tell us what you have seen up in that part of the U.S.
Yes, we're very aware of the border. We pray over the border. We have prayed over it. We've literally gone out onto it because we're near where the water border actually comes. It's not necessarily land there. It's water. We prayed over it. We've had Northwest Gate gatherings to pray because it's a critical area, the whole border of the United States. That is our portion of what we've been assigned to do. And the word that you gave out was really right on. We have really felt that as we read it, we were greatly touched. We actually travailed over what you wrote. And we do communion every day and seek the Lord for whatever's going on. And we're really asking God to please give us mercy.
Yeah.
We need mercy. We need to pray. And I totally agree with what everybody has said. You, Cindy, we need to pray. And more than we've ever prayed before, really seek the Lord. And He will answer.
He will answer.
He will hear our prayers. But we need to really pray, get others to pray and make them aware of what is going on. And but really, the key is pray as much, you know, totally. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. And thank you very much for the opportunity to just really say that this is on our heart greatly. And thank you. Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah, and the next election is key. In the ACPE, Word of the Lord for 2024, we wrote that in 2024, we have to elect a wartime president, one who knows how to navigate war, a strong president. If we don't, in 2025, then war will begin to foment. Okay, so, you know, we're at a hinge of history here. We're definitely, you know, at a place where the window is not that large. We think it is, but it could escalate. I mean, one of our prophets that couldn't get on took, I don't know, do you remember some of you, how many intercessors, Matt, just took to Taiwan and they prayed 21 days to have one. Do you remember how many intercessors that Matt took to Taiwan?
Maybe. I believe he took about 100. I know
that's
gone,
my
though.
Recall. Yeah.
He took about 100, I believe.
Yeah. And so he began to issue a warning in Taiwan. I think 40, 50,000 people are now praying in Taiwan that there won't be war. Okay, we're going to shift, Tommy and Miriam. I know this is
Sandy, I believe that Matt Lockett may be on the call.
He was, but then he got off. So I don't know if he decided not to share right now. So Tommy and Miriam, and then we'll go for you, Mike.
No,
oh, there he is. Oh, hi. Do you want to say anything?
I'd be happy to. Yeah, you were right. We had 100 people on a intercessory team that we took to Taiwan. We did 21 days of prayer and fasting where we prayed multiple times a day. And then we put out a call to fast, and something really amazing happened where it turned into a national call. The entire nation, the church of the nation, responded. And so we guesstimate between 50 to 60,000 people participated in the fast. They took our 21-day prayer guide and adapted it for children, so the children were fasting. And I wanted to say this. I saw something in Taiwan that I have not seen in America in a response from the church, and I think it's the element of peril. And so I texted you the other day, Cindy, that this word you have given is tearing my heart. And my prayer is that the Church of America will respond to the perilous times that we're in, and that we will get our head out of the sand. And I saw this in Taiwan, that there is an element of peril, an impending invasion that is awakening the church. And it's not just out of self-preservation. The church is now seeing sparks of revival and Nazarite consecration among the youth. Intercession is exploding. And so there is that element of peril, I think, that God is going to use in a powerful way. And I pray he does it in America too.
Yeah, well, I didn't say, but Matt Lockett has Justice House of Prayer. His team wore life tape, sit in front of the Supreme Court. For how many days did you pray for the ending of abortion on federal level?
It was almost 18 years.
18 years. How many hours? I think you did the hours, didn't you?
It was 17 years, 8 months, and 21 days. I don't know how many hours.
Yeah. I mean, so they stood rain or shine, these youth, in front of the Supreme Court, sieging for the prayer for the ending of abortion. It went viral in magazines. It became like the iconic symbol. And now the Lord is sending his team to Asia as well. I mean, it's just so powerful. Listen, you know, these voices we have, and I'm so sorry that many, many of our leaders were not able to get on the call because they travel on Wednesday. This was done so quickly that I sent this out. But they're all champions of the gospel. We're going to shift to Tommy and Miriam Evans because they're revivalists. And they have both authored some powerful books for Destiny Image. And they're going around redigging the wells of revival, seeing a lot of miracles. But how could the revival piece maybe help tip some of this? You can choose who goes first.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that during these times, if we look at revival history, I know all of you on this call and those of you watching could agree that there have been wars right on the tip of some of the revivals and awakenings that we've read in the past. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that when we are on the cusp of war or rumors of war, as the Bible talks about, or insurrections, that just as the enemy is right at our heels to inflict fear, I believe that the Spirit of God is giving us a divine exchange. I believe that we are at a strategic moment to receive a specific grace from the Holy Spirit to see many souls come to Jesus, to see the gospel of Jesus demonstrated with power. And I'm reminded of a quote, and this illustrates the exchange, the very grace that I believe that God's giving the body of Christ in this hour. Back in, I believe, in the 1600s, the Queen of Scots, Mary, the Queen of Scots, she said this of John Knox. She said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Scotland," because John Knox knew where, you know, the country was going, and he decided to be a voice of revival in that moment. And I believe that there is a remnant right now that's rising, that God is wanting to give us our voices back. He's removing muzzles of intimidation. He's removing muzzles that has tried to shut the body of Christ up from speaking the truth for fear of being accused of being insurrectionists. They're kind of flipping the narrative to make us want to shut down and be quiet. Mm-hmm. But Tommy and I have seen modern day revival movements happening that's not even really covered in the media. We know of this in California. We know of a young, you know, California Will Be Saved. Our daughter was a part of that, where they're going up and down the coast of California, preaching the gospel, baptizing people. We have held our own meetings and gatherings all across the United States. And when we didn't have water, we grabbed water bottles and just started baptizing people with water bottles and releasing and imparting voices of revival to be released in this hour, to mobilize prayer, but to also mobilize in action for the preaching of the gospel, to mobilize in a Luke 9, Luke 10 strategy. When Jesus imparted, he imparted to his followers and the 70 authority over every demon and power to heal every sickness. And it was a strategy that he gave them. He even said it was warfare. He said, "As you were out ministering, I saw Satan topple down like lightning." And I believe that as we begin to pray and mobilize and gospel action and demonstration of the kingdom of God, that I believe that people in government, those that are in rebellion to the Bible, in rebellion to the law of the Lord, I believe that they will begin to fear us as the body of Christ, not that we're coming in violence, but they will know when the Christians gather together to pray, something shifts, something moves. When the Christians go, signs and wonders are released. And I believe that is a strategy and a grace that God is wanting to put upon the body of Christ in this moment to hold back the plans of the enemy. He's wanting to give us a strength and a power, signs and wonders in this hour.
Yeah, and
thank you.
I would just echo what Miriam said, and really what a lot of us has said already, as it pertains to revival. But this is, I feel like this word is a call to action. This is not something for us to just sit and listen to and become sorrowful. You know, I believe that God is calling us to action. You read in Judges, anytime there was the clinching in the nation, God raised up a man. He raised up a woman. And I feel like we're in that moment again where God is looking throughout the earth. Who will be raised up in this hour to carry revival, to carry prayer and intercession that move heaven and earth, that shifts the narrative over regions, cities? And I just really feel like, you know, you think about Genesis 2:5, it says this. It said, God had not caused it to rain on the earth because there was no man to till the ground. God is ready to pour out the rain, but he's looking for someone who will stand in position, in authority as a son and daughter of God, and release the borders of his presence, his kingdom throughout the earth. And I believe that the remedy for what we're dealing with right now is revival in the heart of man. And we're seeing it. I know there's a lot of of gnarly stuff happening in the nation. There is no doubt, but there are some amazing things happening. I mean, you got things, horrible things going on at Columbia University, but then we heard about things happening. I believe it was in a university in Alabama somewhere where kids were being baptized in the back of pickup trucks. Come on. Mm-hmm. So there is this war in the heavenlies. There's this tension between revival and war and all of these things. And I just really feel like as we raise up the standard and we take our position as sons and daughters of God, it will shift and we'll see the greatest move of God that we've ever seen hit the planet.
Amen. We're hearing of revival in Iran, Afghanistan, in the midst of horrible persecution. Oh. Afghanistan, unspeakable things have happened. And God is not against, God loves the Iranian people. They're concerned. They're very concerned. The church in Iran, the church in Lebanon, the church in Russia, you know, Russian believers are fervent. They're praying people. I love them. We love them. I want to send this message out loud and clear. You know, we've got to pray for wisdom for the government. And maybe you're watching and maybe you feel differently about Ukraine or you feel differently about something else. But I just want to say to you that it is important to understand this position. Okay, Mike, we'll go on. And Paxton, there's something on the screen. I don't know if you can fix that or not. When Robert and Eleanor got off, can you fix that, Paxton?
Okay, Cindy, there's several things that are coming to my mind as we've shared today with the prophets. And when it relates to the sin in the church, I mean, basically one of the biggest challenges the earth has right now is a failure of leadership in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And what I am sensing is that those who are familiar with the Bible know of the concept that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I'm sensing because of the emerging sin that we're seeing in leadership that we're moving into a season, what you could call it a millstone season. And what do I mean by that? The Lord says that if you offend the young ones, the little ones in the church, the people that are growing up in the Lord, and what happens when you do that, they lose heart, they scatter, they leave the church. The Lord puts an indictment upon the people, the leaders that do that. He said, you might as well have a millstone wrapped around your neck or attached to your neck. You're going down. And so I think we're going to be seeing that even more in the coming days. The other thing that I got, this one word just keeps popping up or bubbling up to the surface, and is the word capitulation. And capitulation means you stop resisting evil. Perfect example of this would be the difference or contrast between Chamberlain and Churchill at the beginning of World War II. Churchill was a visionary who saw that if the evil was capitulated to, that a worldwide conflagration would take place. Chamberlain was so trying to keep the peace, and even though he knew things were bad, he hoped against hope that he could, by capitulating, have an outcome that would be favorable. You cannot have an outcome that is favorable if you capitulate to evil. Mm-hmm. And anyone who does that in this season, and the church has been one of the factors that's been doing this, you cannot capitulate to evil. You must resist evil. I think the Bible says that. So we're in a situation where there is a judgment of the house of the Lord. Will you take your assignment, take your responsibility to resist the evil one? Because we have the promise that if we resist the evil one, he will have to flee.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Well, let me read you a scripture. And I also want to suggest that maybe you want to read John Bevere's new book. I think it's called The Awe of God. You know, it's just what he's sharing. And this is something that I read when, let me read it here. I have it on this device. Something that I read when I was in Canada, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. We must all appear before the judgment seat, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, listen to this, the terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord. God isn't our buddy. He is the ruler. He is the judge. And it goes on to say, we persuade men, but we're all well known to God, and I trust all well known in our consciousness. So with that, we are going to close out. We're going to have this word. It will be attached, and you will be able to get it. Please stir up prayer. Send it everywhere. We're going to have more prayer. We're going to be mobilizing prayer, and you will hear from us. Thank you for the ACPE that we have now spent hours, and there were others that weren't able to stay on. We spent hours on this, and then hours behind the scenes writing back and forth with many that are not here now because they're traveling to preach tomorrow. But God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And I want to say that let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let there be purity and holiness, because he is holiness in manifestation, and God will help us. God is a prayer-hearing God, and we know that God sent one angel and wiped out a whole army of 100-something thousand people, and we know he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. Thank you, members.